Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, chapter 18, text 7. Translation purport by Srila Prabhupada. Shukadev Goswami continued, "My dear king, Lord Nrisimhadev resides in the tract of land known as Harivarsha. In the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, I shall describe to you how Prahlad Maharaj caused the Lord to assume the form of Nrisimhadev. Prahlad Maharaj, the topmost devotee of the Lord, is a reservoir of all the good qualities of great personalities. His character and activities have delivered all the fallen members of his demoniac family. Lord Nrisimhadev is very dear to this exalted personality. Thus, Prahlad Maharaj, along with his servants and all the denizens of Harivarsha, worships Lord Nrisimhadev by chanting the following mantra. Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya." And next verse. And purport. Jayadev Goswami's 10 prayers, worshipping the incarnations of Lord Krishna, Keshava, contain his name in every stanza. For example, Keshava Drita Narahari Rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hare. Keshava Drita Meena Sharira Jaya Jagadisha Hare. Keshava Drita Vamana Rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hare. The word Jagad Ish refers to the proprietor of all the universes. His original form is the two-handed form of Lord Krishna, standing with a flute in his hands and engaged in tending the cows. As stated in Brahma Samhita, Chintamani Prakarasatma Shukapa Briksha Laksha Vritesha Surabhir Abhipalayantam Lakshmi Sahasra Satasam Brahma Savyamanam Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, the first progenitor, who is tending the cows, yielding all desires, in abodes built with spiritual gems and surrounded by millions of purpose trees. He is always served with great reverence and affection by hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune. From this verse, we learn that Govinda or Krishna is Adi Purusha, the original person. The Lord has innumerable incarnations, exactly like the innumerable waves of a flowing river, but the original form is Krishna or Keshava. Shukadev Goswami refers to Nrisimhadev because of Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj was put into great distress by his powerful father, the demon Hiranyakashipu. Apparently helpless before him, Prahlad Maharaj called on the Lord, who immediately assumed the gigantic form of Nrisimhadev, half man and half lion, to kill the gigantic demon. Although Krishna is the original person, one without a second, he assumes different forms just to satisfy his devotees or to execute a specific purpose. Therefore, Jayadev Goswami always repeats the name of Keshava, the original personality of Godhead, in his prayers describing the Lord's different incarnations for different purposes. I'll read the translation again. Shukadev Goswami continued, "My dear king, Lord Nrisimhadev resides in the tract of land known as Harivarsha. In the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, I shall describe to you how Prahlad Maharaj caused the Lord to assume the form of Nrisimhadev. Prahlad Maharaj, the topmost devotee of the Lord, is a reservoir of all the good qualities of great personalities. His character and activities have delivered all the fallen members of his demoniac family. Lord Nrisimhadev is very dear to this exalted personality. Thus, Prahlad Maharaj, along with his servants and all the denizens of Harivarsha, worships Lord Nrisimhadev by chanting the following mantra." Tomorrow's class is that mantra. Om Anjana Timirandasya Dhananjana Shudakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Mukam Kuroti Vachalam Pangam Langayate Girim Yakripa Tamaham Vande Shigurum Dinatanam Paramanandamadavam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhaktarinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vancha Kalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhayavacha Titana Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya Namaste Tejase Aviravirbhava Vajranaka Vajradamsa Karma Shayan Randaya Randaya Tamo Grasa Grasa Om Swaha Abhayam Abhayam Atmani Bhishtam Shom Shina Shinga Jai Jai Nishinga Shina Shinga Jai Jai Nishinga. In this verse, we are reminded of the wonderful transcendental form of Lord Nrisimhadev. Jayadeva Goswami, in his famous poem or drama, Gita Govinda, he begins the Gita Govinda with the Mangala Charana. To create auspiciousness, he recalls the Das Avatar. He wrote a wonderful bhajan, Das Avatar Stotra, which we sing on appearance days of Krishna, or at any time. And Prabhupada's quoting two or three lines in the beginning of his purport from Das Avatar Stotra. Keshava Drita Mina Sharira, Keshava Drita Kurma Sharira, Keshava Drita Narahari Rupa. So these are the descriptions of the Lord's 10 incarnations. So Lord Nrisimhadev is mentioned here, and he is a particularly wonderful form of the Lord that Prabhupada has introduced all over the world. When ISKCON was having difficulty in the early 70s with the demons, various demons in America and Europe were attacking the devotees and the movement, and Prabhupada's life was also threatened, Prabhupada introduced the worship of Lord Nrisimhadev, the chanting of this mantra, Tabakara Kamala Varenakam, and he had some paintings made. I think maybe Mother Jadarani, she painted the first painting of Lord Nrisimhadev. And he began, all the temples installed Lord Nrisimhadev to protect the movement and protect the devotees. So we are living here in Bharatvarsha, or more specifically in Brajadham. So we often think of our neighbor, Mayapur Dham. Because in Mayapur, in Navadvip Dham, we have our temple there, our headquarters, Mayapur Chandradoya Mandir. And we also have Lord Nrisimhadev there. And he's in a very wonderful form there. In the 1930s, at the Yogapit, the demons, however, whatever shape they took at that time, but they were attacking the temple of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, the Sri Chaitanya Math, and giving them great difficulty. So then, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, he had the inspiration from within the heart that he should install a temple to Lord Nrisimhadev, a deity of Lord Nrisimhadev, to protect his temple and his devotees. So that's what he did. In the backside of the yoga pit, if you go there, you'll see there's a temple of Gorgadadhar and Nrisimhadev. Lord Nrisimhadev, Varaha Nrisimha is there. And that was done to protect the devotees. Because Lord Nrisimhadev, he is always protecting the devotees from within and without. So later, about 40 some years later, in ISKCON, the demons attacked Radha Madhav because they thought they were made of gold. Of course they are, transcendental gold. Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi. Gaurangi, Kanchana Gaurangi. Radharani is completely transcendental, like molten gold, very attractive and glimmering. Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi, all her limbs are golden and beautiful. So it's a fact that the Lord is exhibiting a beautiful golden form as Mahaprabhu or as Gaurangi, Srimati Radharani. So they stole the deities, the dacoits. And there's a big fight, and one devotee lost his leg, Bhakti Raghava Swami. And after that, the devotees are very alarmed. So they decided, made some inquiry what to do. So they were advised they should install Lord Nrisimhadev. So that's in fact what they did. They installed Lord Nrisimhadev. Now the installation of Lord Nrisimhadev, or the appearance of Lord Nrisimhadev in this world, is a transcendental event. Here we're being reminded in the purport of the seventh canto of Bhagavatam, which delineates the appearance of Lord Nrisimhadev before the devotee Prahlad to protect him from the harassment of his demoniac father, Hiranyakashipu. So that was millions of years ago when that took place. But actually, Lord Nrisimhadev can appear at any time and any place to protect his Prahlad-like devotees. So his most recent appearance, at least that's well known to everyone, although he may have privately appeared to different individuals. Different devotees in times of distress, they will have the experience of Lord Nrisimhadev appearing to protect them. Especially Sankirtan devotees, who generally are taking great risk by going out into the streets and wherever they go, airports, etc., to preach Krishna consciousness, they may confront so many opposing elements and demoniac persons because they're going to the place of the demons to convert them to Krishna consciousness. So they may have more experience of calling on Lord Nrisimhadev and seeing him manifest before him, before them, manifest from a pillar or from within someone's heart. Lord Nrisimhadev is always there. He may not necessarily take half man, half lion form, which he took for Prahlad, but he'll take a particular form that's required to protect his devotee at a particular place. We've seen once we were on Sankirtan and one devotee was getting beat up by one demon. So then we were nearby, so we joined and tried to help that devotee. But we were also getting beaten up by that demon. So now he was beating up two devotees he was beating up one devotee and one assistant who was trying to help that devotee. So he's beating up two people. But it was kind of a hopeless situation for us. But we were chanting to Lord Nrisimhadev and trying our best to defend the devotee. And then all of a sudden, Lord Nrisimhadev appeared there. But he didn't appear as a half-man, half-lion, but he appeared, well, maybe half-man, half-animal. He appeared as a U.S. Marine. As a U.S. Marine means he was about 7 feet tall, and he was very powerfully built, like some of the demons from the Bhagavatam. Very powerful. And he immediately came to the rescue. And he... First, I didn't know what was happening because we were... someone grabbed our shoulder and picked us up and threw us about 10 yards, 10 meters. Because what the person was doing, this Nrisimhadev incarnation, he wanted to get us out of the way so he could finish off the demon. So he picked me up, threw me off, threw the other devotee off, and then completely obliterated and annihilated the demon. Sringa Bhagavan Ki! So we were seeing that Lord Nrisimhadev came in this form to protect this devotee who was being harassed by this demon. So in this way, Lord Nrisimhadev will appear. So most recently in Mayapur, he appeared in the form of Nrisimhadev. So the appearance of Lord Nrisimhadev is a transcendental event. It is lila. It is pastimes of the Lord. And it has many purposes. The overt purpose and covert purpose of the Lord's appearances are commented by different acharyas. He protects the devotees. He establishes religion. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. But moreover, it's simply his pastime of enjoying the association of his devotees. So in Mayapur, they installed a very wonderful form of the Lord. So we'd like to recount the appearance of Lord Nrisimhadev in Mayapur as much as we can remember with our feeble mind. They decided to make a deity of Lord Nrisimhadev, install a deity of Lord Nrisimhadev in Mayapur. And one devotee there, he had some idea what the deity should look like. So that devotee, he drew on a piece of paper a drawing of that Nrisimhadeva deity. Because he had this idea that he should be very ferocious. But just from his, he had no Shastric experience, but he had the idea. Because they were going to have a deity made in South India. So this deity that was drawn on the paper was standing on two legs, standing up, and roaring very ferociously, and with 10 arms and or 8 arms, and very powerful. Just as he, Lord Nrisimhadeva jumped out of the pillar, as soon as the pillar cracked open, and Lord Nrisimhadeva was standing there, facing his opponent, Hiranyakashipu, that was drawn. So then one other devotee, Atmatattva, he took this drawing and he went to South India. And he looked for different stapatis or deity carvers. So he went to them and said, we want to make a deity of Lord Nrisimhadeva. And he showed a picture, drawing, something like this. And all the stapatis said, no, that we can't make such a deity like that. That is a very ferocious deity. So then he went to one stapati and he said, can you make me? And he said, no, but let me read something from the Shastra. So that deity carver, that architect, whatever stapati is called, he read from the Shastra and he said, there are 10 different forms of Lord Nrisimhadeva. The Shastra explains, there's 10 different forms. And there's a form called Stanu Nrisimha. And Stanu Nrisimha, he is the most ferocious form of Lord Nrisimhadeva. He is seething with anger and venomous fury to kill the opponent. And he is known as Stanu Nrisimha. And he is described like this. Just exactly after the pillar cracked open and Lord Nrisimhadeva jumped out, he's standing up on two legs, on practically on his tiptoes, and his mouth is gaping wide, open very wide, and all his razor sharp teeth are glistening there like lightning bolts, and his nails and his hands are just crushing his fingers like this, waiting to kill the demon Hiranyakashipu, and he's just, his chest is heaving with heavy breathing, and he's about to pounce on the insignificant fly-like demon Hiranyakashipu. This is called Stanu Nrisimha. And then Atmatattva, he looked at the drawing and he said, yes, that's the one we want. Because the man said, that's the man. He said, yes, that's why I read this description, because the drawing you have, that is the deity you've drawn here. That is the deity you're requiring. But this deity is not worshipped anywhere in this planet. In fact, even the demigods are afraid to worship this deity. This particular form of Lord Nrisimhadeva is so powerful and so ferocious that they are afraid to go anywhere near. In fact, let me tell you a story. Once, this is Astapati telling. He says, once there was a village near here in South India. And thousands of years ago, they installed a deity of Nrisimha like that. This Stanu, this the most ferocious of all the 10 forms, Stanu Nrisimha. They installed him over there. And, of course, his worship has to be done by a Naishtiki Brahmachari. Naishtiki means Brahmachari's never had sex, never passed semen, a very pure-hearted soul. That person has to do the puja. That's first off, his personal pujari. And so the people in that village, some village came up around that temple, and they were doing the puja, and you have to have some elaborate worship when you have Nrisimhadeva. You have to have an elephant procession, Hasti Shobha Yatra, Hasti, an elephant procession, and you have to have many festivals and yajnas. You have to do all these things to worship this form. So they were carrying on and doing like that. But then, due to some influence, lack of finances or lack of bhakti or something, they diminished the worship. They started to reduce the worship of Lord Nrisimhadeva with his Stanu Nrisimha. And what happened? The whole village burned down. Everyone got sick and diseased. Everyone left the village. And that whole village just turned into a ghost town. It was completely vacant because of these apparads. The Lord was so furious that he just made it impossible for anyone to live there. Everyone got sick and burned, their houses burned. So then the Stabati said, so you want this to happen to your ISKCON project? You tell me you're trying to develop a big city for 50,000 people, an international project, but if you bring this Stanu Nisringa there, and if he gets angry, he'll burn the whole place down and kill everybody there. Are you sure you want to have a deity like this? And Atmatapa said, yes, we want a deity like that. And he said, all right, but I can't make such a deity like this. I won't do it. Because this deity is too dangerous. If I start carving, maybe some problem. I won't do it. So then Atmatapa was perplexed. Who will make the deity? So he went to another one, and another one, another one. And none of them would touch this deity. None of the carvers wanted to carve such a ferocious deity of Lord Nisringadev. Because nowhere in the planet Earth is this deity being worshipped. Nowhere in this material world is it being worshipped. Even the demigods, well, at least it's said, the demigods don't worship this form of the Lord. So Atmatapa came back to Mayapur, big problem, can't find anyone to carve the deity. But everyone was excited because they actually, the deity that was drawn on the paper was actually the most meanest form of Lord Nisringadev. So then they sent him back again, and Atmatapa went back to the same Stapati, and he said, look, I've been all around South India. You're a very nice person. You're one of the best carvers. You have to carve this deity. He said, look, I can't carve this deity. It's impossible. Anyway, you stay here for a few days. I'll ask my guru, and then I'll see. So then he inquired from his guru, the Shankaracharya. Shankaracharya of somewhere in South India, one of the famous acharyas of the Mayavadi Sampradaya. Shankaracharya was the guru of the Stapati. So he said, Guru Dev, may I have your permission to carve this Stanu Nisringa for the ISKCON? For this one person. And he said, no, don't do it. Don't carve this deity, otherwise your family will be destroyed. Your family will be destroyed. Don't do it. All right. And then the Shankaracharya, he said, well, who is it for? He said, oh, it's for ISKCON. It's for ISKCON. So then he said, oh, let me consider. You come tomorrow and see me. Let me think about this. You come back tomorrow. So then what happened is, that night, the Stapati had a dream. No, how did it work? Yeah, that night the Stapati had a dream, and in his dream, his Gurudev appeared to him and said, yes, it's all right. It's all right to carve that Nisringadev deity for ISKCON. And what had happened, that was in a dream of the Stapati. The Shankaracharya, he thought deeply about it, then he decided, yes, it's all right. Let this Nisringadev can come to ISKCON. So he sent a letter, a telegram, from his village over to the Stapati, some distance away. So then the next morning when the Stapati woke up after his dream, he went and he got a telegram from his Gurudev. And the Gurudev said, yes, you make that deity of Nisringadev for ISKCON. So then he, with his guru's permission, he began to look for the stone to make the deity. So then Atmatattva, he asked the Stapati, when will the deity be ready? And he said, about 6 months. He said, all right. So Atmatattva waited 6 months. He went to Mayapur. He came back to South India. He said, okay, is the deity ready? And the Stapati said, no, I haven't started. He said, what? What's going on? You told me 6 months, and now it's already? He said, yes, my friend, but look, you have to be a little patient. Because to carve a deity, on the Sringadev or any deity, you have to find a special type of stone. It has to be a Jivanshila. A Jivanshila means it has to be a living stone. We have to get a very large block of granite, black granite, and it has to be living stone. Living stone means that there's one type of worm that enters inside the stone. And he eats up the stone and he goes through there and then he comes out. So that type of stone which the worm goes in and eats that stone and lives in that stone and comes out, that's living stone. That's the first characteristic. And the second characteristic is that when you tap that stone, when you hit it, it makes a wonderful musical sound. It's vibrating with life. Just like when a person is alive, he can sing. A lady can sing very sweetly, or a person can sing very sweetly, very nicely. A man sings very nicely. So this is the product of life. Life can make such wonderful singing sounds. So if this is living stone, when you hit it, when you tap it, it will make wonderful sounds. Wonderful sounds. Just like in Mukherjee, in Vrindavan, near Govardhan, there's a village of Radharani's grandmother. Radharani's grandmother lived in Mukherjee, which is a few, maybe half a kilometer from Radhakund. And in that village, Radharani would go there and play sometimes. And nearby her grandmother's house, there were some nice Govardhan Shilas, some nice stones there. They're all Govardhan Shilas. And Radharani would make music there. And these stones are called Bhajan Shila. Bhajan Shila, which they're behind the temple of Radharani and Mukara and her mother, Kirtida. There are three deities there, Kirtida and Radharani and Mukara, her grandmother. So behind there are wonderful stones. When you hit those stones, they make beautiful music. So Radharani would hit those stones and they would become alive with beautiful music under the hands of Srimati Radharani. So this type of living stone must be there to make the deity. So he told Amitabha, please be patient. When I find, I'll make. So finally, Stavati found the stone. He started carving the stone, and he finished the deity after some time. The Sringadev Stana and the Sringa was finished. Then, the Stavati went to visit a friend in a village. While he was visiting his friend, he got the news that the workshop where he was making the deity of the Sringadev was a temporary workshop, with a thatched roof of straw and bamboo. He got the news that there was a fire there, that the whole workshop was burning down. And it was very unusual, because this is South India, and it was during the monsoon time. And there's lots of rain there, and all the straw was soaking wet, all the bamboo was wet with water. It doesn't make sense that it would catch fire. Stavati rushed back from his friend's house in a nearby village. He saw everything burning up. Immediately went on the telephone. He called Mayapur. Atmatattva, come and get your deity. He's ready. He's really ready. He's burning down the place. Come and take him. So Lord Nisringadev, he was manifesting some of a particle of his transcendental potency just to show that he's got the stuff, that he's got the power to protect the devotees. As soon as he was finished and he manifested his power by burning down the workshop that he was made in, even though everything was completely, by material calculation, no fire could start over there. There was no cause of the fire. There's no loose petrol lying here or there, and everything was soaking wet. You could not burn such a wet thatch. But the Sringadev's power is completely transcendental. It's not limited by material arrangement. Die or any time. So then, Atmatattva, he made arrangements to bring Lord Nisringadev to Mayapur for the installation. And ordinarily, when you're crossing many state lines in India, you require much paperwork and so much bribing and taxes, and it's a lot of headache to transport a deity from state to state all the way to West Bengal. But somehow or other, Atmatattva, who's an experienced man, but nevertheless, he was amazed how effortlessly and easily he transported Lord Nisringadev. He put him in the truck and immediately came to West Bengal. All the clearances, all the paperwork, everything just went very quickly. So he was seeing, this was all the arrangement of the Lord, because Lord Nisringadev was in a hurry to go to Mayapur and serve the devotees there and get the darshan of Radha Madhav. Lord Nisringadev so much wants that darshan. So he was burning with enthusiasm to have the darshan of Radha Madhav. So he burned down the house he was in, and then he, in a very rapid way, he moved from South India without any impediments or the normal snags and hurdles that one faces when trying to transport deities such a great distance or any kind of goods. So then he came to Mayapur. There's a very elaborate installation there. But this is just a brief outline of the appearance of Lord Nrisimhadeva in Mayapur. There are many stories of Lord Nrisimhadeva. Of course, I've left out a lot, but Pankajangri Prabhu, the twin brother of Jananivas, he is the pujari, head pujari for Lord Nrisimhadeva, very pure soul. And he tells some very wonderful stories about Lord Nrisimhadeva, about either himself directly or other pujaris, because there are assistant pujaris. So one story was, every morning the pujari would go into the deity room, Lord Nrisimhadeva's deity room, he would turn on the light, and the light was like the flood type of light, a big bright light, and it would shine from the wall right into Lord Nrisimhadeva's eyes. But the devotee wasn't really conscious of it, because that was the light. You turn the switch and that's the light that comes on. He wasn't thinking anything so much. So then, one day the devotee was lying in his ashram, brahmachari. He was sleeping. He was just sleeping half awake. And then, before him, Lord Nrisimhadeva first came in his ashram, and he was standing there, the deity form. And he said, "Look, why are you always shining this bright light in my face every morning? Don't you have any sense?" And the devotee, he swears that he wasn't really asleep, because he told the story. He's like, because he was asked, "Are you sleeping?" "No, I wasn't sleeping. I saw him face to face. He came in my room and he told me, 'Look, don't turn that bright light on my face early in the morning. You have some other candle or some oil lamp or some other way of coming in without shining this bright light on my face. I don't like it. And if you do that, you'll be sorry.'" So, Lord Nrisimhadeva is there in all his beauty and opulence and power and majesty to bless the devotees and inspire the devotees on the path of prema bhakti. And Lord Nrisimhadeva, he's simply there giving the ticket to Radha Madhava's lotus feet. Just like you go in the front door, you get one ticket for the movie. Then with the ticket, you can go inside. So you come in the temple, the first person you see is the ticket collector. The gatekeeper there at Mayapur Dham is Nrisimha Bhagavan. It's Dadu Nrisimha. So you come in, he sees you as soon as you come in the front gate. He's checking you out. Because from his altar, he looks straight down the road out the front gate. So as soon as you step into the Mayapur property on the front gate, the road going in, Lord Nrisimhadeva is checking you out. He's looking inside of you and every part of you, looking at you and purifying you by his sudarshan, by his auspicious glance, sudarshan. And as you progress further into the path along that road, you're coming closer to Lord Nrisimhadeva. And then if he decides that he likes you and accepts you, then you can enter inside. And then you take his darshan, make your dandavats, and you beg his permission. "My dear Lord Nrisimhadeva, now I am standing before you. You purify me wholesale, completely purify me, because I want to go to the next step. I want to go for the service of Radha Madhav. They're waiting here with all the Ashtashakis, and I've waited too long to attain their service. So now you please give me one ticket. You please give me the ticket of Adhikar. You give me the qualification to go and engage in their loving service. So I'm begging you and I'm praying before you." So this is the mood that's given to us by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the Navadvipa Dham Mahatmyam. In the Navadvipa Bhava Taranga, he explains that we should approach Lord Nrisimhadeva with this mood. "Please purify me of my lust and greed and anger and envy, and enable me to attain the loving service of Radha Madhava within the groves of Vrindavan. Oh Lord Nrisimhadeva, this mercy you can grant me. So I am petitioning you and begging you for this kindness upon me." So we'll end there. If there's any comments or questions. The question is that when that workshop of Lord Nrisimhadeva burned up, did any harm come to Lord Nrisimhadeva? Of course not. He burned it up. So He can be in the middle of a fire and not be touched by not even perspire a drop of heat, a drop of sweat, rather. Being surrounded by a wall of fire, but he won't even drop one drop of sweat. So Lord Nrsingadev, it was by his will he burned it down. He said, get me out of here. I'm ready. I want to go to Mayapur Dham. Enough of this South India. So Lord Nrsingadev is very, very beautiful form and very kind form of the Lord that Prabhupada has given all of us. In the beginning of ISKCON, maybe we didn't realize how friendly Lord Nrsingadev is. He is our greatest friend. Although externally he may appear ferocious or rather unfriendly, but actually he's the greatest friend of the devotee. Just as for the materialistic Hindu, Lord Ganesh is the greatest friend. Because Lord Ganesh or Ganapati, Vignaraj, he removes all their obstacles to material attainment and material success. So they are very friendly to Ganesh. They worship him, they pray to him, they have a deity of him in their house and in their shop. He's our great friend because he's giving them what they want. What do they want? Sense enjoyment, material satisfaction and pleasure. So he's our good friend, Ganesh. But our good friend is Lord Nrsingadev. And of course, Lord Nrsingadev is giving the power to Ganesh anyway, because he's holding Lord Nrsingadev's lotus feet upon his head. Ganapati, Ganesh is holding Lord Nrsingadev's feet on his head. So we pray to Lord Nrsingadev, and he is our best friend, because he is giving us the ultimate gift of prema bhakti. He is giving us the opportunity to purify our hearts and become qualified to serve Radha and Krishna in loving devotion. So therefore, he's our greatest friend, because he's giving us the prema pumarta mahan, the greatest gift of prema. But he looks very ferocious. He isn't smiling some pleasant, peaceful smile, but it's serious business to get free from anarthas and aparads. It's very serious. So our friend has taken a very serious disposition, and he's serious about the task of purifying our hearts. So simply we have to surrender to his mercy and pray to him and take shelter, as his next very nice verse, next verse to tomorrow's class, is a wonderful prayer to Lord Nrsingadev. The question is that Prabhupada gave us, when we were having difficulty in the 70s with demons, Prabhupada didn't install a deity, he installed a mantra. Because mantra, there's no difference on the absolute platform. He gave us a mantra, a kavacha. He gave us the prayer to Lord Nrsingadev, two prayers, and he didn't see any necessity to install a deity. So why, 10 years later, did we go to so much trouble in Germany and Mayapur to install deities? That's the question. Yes, the question is, Prabhupada gave us a painting of Lord Nrsingadev, so why bother doing more? It's not really doing more. I don't want to say that it's doing more than what Prabhupada gave us, but it's doing in the same light. It's doing in the same light. Prabhupada, he installed the painting, Lord Nrsingadev, and had that painting installed in all the temples. He said, I want this painting made in many copies and installed in all the temples, and devotees have it in the painting of Lord Nrsingadev in their houses and their temples everywhere, and to remind them and to pray to him for protection in their bhakti, devotion, service. So why install these other forms, unseen, never before seen forms? The devotees are following Prabhupada's line, but they're feeling some inspiration from within the heart to do like this. And that inspiration is also confirmed by previous acharyas. When the Nrsingadev was installed in Mayapur, at least we know, that Srila Prabhupada was already in Nitya Lila. So the devotees consulted the other Gaudiya Vaishnavas, and they saw that our Param Guru, he installed a murti of Lord Nrsingadev, and also paintings. They also have paintings of Lord Nrsingadev in their temples, Gaudiya Math temples. So somehow, by the inspiration from within their heart and the confirmation of the Gaudiya Acharyas, they chose to install deity in Mayapur, which you may say is different than Prabhupada or why they did, but that is the only answer we can give. They were inspired somehow by Super Soul to do that. And it's not wrong. It is simply their inspiration, and it's confirmed by the Acharyas. And it's in line with Prabhupada. He installed a painting. They installed a Murti. It's not wrong. We don't want to judge in that way. We want to try to be equipoised. No, this particular, not that Lord Nisringadev can only be worshipped by Nishtika Brahmachari. It's explained in the Shalagram worship that Ugra Nisringa, there's actually 10 forms of Ugra Nisringa. Ugra Nisringa means the horrible, ferocious feature of Lord Nisringadev killing Hiranyakashipu, or about to kill. So there's 10 forms of Ugra. And the most ferocious and violent form is when he just came out of the pillar. Because after he killed him, when Lord Nisringadev has Hiranyakashipu on his lap, he's relishing. He's just enjoying. He's not very angry then. His anger is at its highest pitch right before he fights. As soon as he jumps out and he's ready, then his anger is at his highest pitch. So this is considered to be the most ferocious form. So it's explained that Ugra Nisringadev deities, or Ugra Nisringa Shalagrams, they can only be worshipped by Brahmacharis. They cannot be worshipped by Grihasthas. A Grihastha cannot worship an Ugra Shalagram Shila. But they can worship Lakshmi Nisringa. So if there's a Lakshmi Nisringa deity, or Lakshmi Nisringa Shalagram, then a Grihastha couple, or they can worship that. But the Ugra form, and specifically, of the Ugra forms, this Stana Nisringa must be worshipped by Nishtika Brahmachari. This particular form. But the other forms, the other Ugra forms, must be worshipped by Brahmacharis, and it's assumed, in one sense, they're Nishtiki, but maybe not lifetime, but now, while they're doing puja, they're pure. Grihasthas will worship Lakshmi Nisringa, so the Grihastha will engage his wife also in Shalagram Puja. Wife can also worship Shalagram. You see in Vrindavan, so many ladies in the families of Goswamis are doing puja also, or assisting in the puja. But we see it. We see it in Vrindavan also. Anyway, in Kali Yuga, the main worship is to worship the holy name with love and devotion, and fix the form of the Lord within the mind, and render all kinds of unlimited services to the form of the Lord within the mind. And that service can always be pure. The service rendered in the mind can always be pure. The mind is not subjected to the impurities of the physical body. The physical body goes through different changes from month to month, week to week, different contaminations depending on the gender or the season. But the mind can maintain its purity. So service within the mind can always be on the pure platform. You can serve Krishna in the mind every day. It isn't that a few days a month you can't serve, or when you're sick you can't serve, or when you're contaminated, or you have diarrhea, you can't serve. No, in your mind, you can establish your beloved deity of Radha and Krishna within your mind, and you can worship that form of the Lord any time, any day, any place, with unlimited outpourings of love and devotion. In as many ways as you can think, and as many ways as you can imagine, those ways you can worship the Lord within your mind. And that's available to anyone and everyone. There's no vidhi for that. This is the spontaneous platform of loving attachment. Oh, the mantra that we recited is tomorrow's verse. So tomorrow's speaker will tell you all about the meaning of that. You can read here in the Bhagavatam. Well, let's simply just read it. We'll read the translation of that mantra, tomorrow's class. Because it's a glorification of Lord Nisringadev. I offer, this is the translation. This is what he's asking. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Lord Nisringadev, the source of all power. O my Lord, who possesses nails and teeth just like thunderbolts, kindly vanquish our demon-like desires for fruitive activity in this material world. Please appear in our hearts and drive away our ignorance so that by your mercy we may become fearless in the struggle for existence in this material world. That's tomorrow's verse, and someone will. Krishna, Radha and Krishna and Brajadam are completely pure, Chintamani Dham, completely pure. So to be qualified, Adhikar means to be qualified or eligible, to have the opportunity, to get the chance. This is Adhikar, the eligibility, the qualification, the chance. To serve Radha and Krishna, one must also be pure, completely pure. So what are impurities? What are the contaminations? Lust and anger and greed and envy, desire for adoration, distinction, profit. So these are our Hiranyakashipus. These are our enemies. And the Sringadeva, he will remove these by his kindness from the heart. So when they're out of the heart, then the purity of the heart, Nityasiddha Krishna Prema, the reservoir of prema that is gushing within the heart of the conditioned soul, may overflow the boundaries of the heart and rush to the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. Once the impurities are removed, which create that boundary. Any other questions? No, I didn't say that. The installation of the deity in Mayapur was not inspired by a dream. The demons attacked the temple, and one particular devotee there, he had some idea of how the deity should be carved. In other words, they decided we will make a deity of Lord Nisringadeva. Well, what should he look like? Should it be Lakshmi Nisringa or Ugra Nisringa? Should he be sitting or standing like this, like that? With chakra? So then he, on a piece of paper, drew some idea. He had this idea and he drew. There's no, that, like that. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Shri Lakshmi Narasimha Bhagavan ki, Prahlad Narasimha Bhagavan ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.